So the modern Shabbos smart home. So I was like, think about this. What's included in that? So I thought about the following topics. Alexa and Ring. Those are the two things that I came up with. The Ring, the new, you know, the video doorbells. Because it's not just about pushing the doorbell. It's their motion sensors. So anytime anybody is on the porch. Anybody have these, this Ring? Any,
The Ring sensors.
Oh, no. Ellie has one. They cover it.
They cover it.
Over Shabbos.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know what the reasons do with those.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so they cover it. A couple weeks ago, there was this whole story that I mailed a pair of tefillin, two pairs of tefillin, actually, in one package to my guy, and he didn't... He called me back a few... I got a message, you know, it got delivered, and the guy, and my guy said, didn't come. So he actually went to his neighbors and got, like, checked their rings to see if they could. Ended up being that it went two blocks away to an address, and we found it, Baruch Hashem. But that's one use. You can go and find, even if you don't have it, but the person next door could have it. And if you're just walking by, some of these things can be picked up. So those are the two things. So we'll start with, just as we did last week, with inventions that are a couple of decades old. So here also we're going to start with some of the inventions that are a couple of decades old, and then swing into the modern age. So the first thing I want to speak about, and we'll see why, is grandfather clocks, or things that, you know, they ring on the hour. So is that a problem? What could possibly be the problem? You set it up before Shabbos, right? So what could possibly be the problem? So, well, actually, that's... Yeah, all right. So the Shulchan Aruch, when discussing the idea of Hashmas Kol, the idea of a sound being made, that there's some kind of gezerah, or against there being sounds on Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch actually records, Yishmatirin lomar la'akum l'nagim b'kli shir b'chupos. There are those who permit asking a non-Jew to play instruments on Shabbos for chuppas, for weddings. Now this was like, well, who's getting married on Friday afternoon, Friday night? So this was like not an uncommon thing. This is actually a fairly regular thing that people would get married on. They would have the wedding on Friday afternoon, and the meal would be Friday night, and they would order everything from Savati, right? Now they only have to order one thing. Well, that way everybody would only have to cook one chicken that week instead of two chickens, right? So that was a way of saving money. And this is Rav Moshe Feinstein a couple of volumes of Igros Moshe have come out after he passed away. So I think volume 8 has a biography in it, and there it comments that Rav Moshe got married on Friday afternoon, and that was the. This is in Russia. That was what the people did. This is actually coming a little back into style. Who told me this? Rabbi Chazen Horowitz, our Chazen, his daughter or son, I forget, a year or two ago, got married on Friday afternoon in Baltimore, because they said the way it worked out for his family and Shevrach and Sedra, they would need to go to a hotel. So instead of making a big wedding, they made like a nice Shabbos Shevrach Brachos, and they had the wedding on Friday afternoon in Baltimore. If I wanted to come and dance, and come and dance. And that was it. And then they went to some hotel for Shabbos with everybody together. No, that was a Friday afternoon wedding, and there was some music. But here it's describing in Shulchan Aruch that people actually got married Friday night, and they would pay the non-Jewish band to play music. That's what he says here. So va'filu lomer la'akum, and he says even the takin klishir shari mishum kavod chasim v'kala, that it would be permitted for on this basis. He says umiyu bisman hazeh, however nowadays nagu la'akil mitam shismar b'simin and shachar, there are those that are makel about it. Now he doesn't. The Mishnah Berurah sort of knocks this down a little bit. The Mishnah Berurah says that he doesn't approve of it. But or now there's reasons not to do it, but that was the minhag. So why is that? Where is that coming from? The Aruch HaShulchan also is not a fan of this idea. But how is this okay? So he explains here that in this way, in number two, lachin mutter lamin me'erev Shabbos kli hamakashkish l'shol shekorin zeiger. That in the same way that you're asking a non-Jew to play instruments for you Friday night, you could also set some kind of clock that was called the Zeiger. I guess that's some kind of grandfather's clock. Shema'archin machinim osomi ba'od yom ayedei mashkolos sheyish kashkish b'chol sha'ah kol yom ha-Shabbos. That would ring every hour for the entire Shabbos. The einza kol klishir was, and that's not considered an instrument. Why? The ein hakavanim yishum hanima elikadei leidav lishmoa eiza sha'keis. But your idea, it wasn't because you enjoy the sound of the grandfather clock. Rather, it just lets you know when it is. That way you know that it's the hour. V'lachin avshim kashkish b'ni'imos mutter. V'akol mitam she'isbar. Well, for, therefore, that, doing that is permissible. Kevan she'ena kavanu l'shir el lashmiya kol ba'alma. Your idea isn't to hear the song, rather it is to hear just this sound. So v'yesh, and there are those who want to prohibit this, me'ezetam ve'enu ikrim, they're not right. Fine. That's what they're, etc. U'mashra mi'zeh, de la'amid kli shir mi'erev Shabbos, she'yashir mi'atzmo v'Shabbos, to set up a some kind of instrument before Shabbos, so that it would play on Shabbos. That should also be aser. V'achim mistaber de kevan de iser hu, shem yitakin kli shir, plus the same gezeira might apply. So this is the Aruch HaShulchan going back against the Ramah, saying that if that what is permissible? Permissible is to make noise. That if you want to set something up so that noise is going to be made on Shabbos, so he says that's okay. But to set it up so that music is going to be played on Shabbos, he says that's still within the rule. That's still within the problem of you may go and fix the instrument. So there's a prohibition against instruments, but not necessarily a prohibition against noise. So setting up something for which there will be noise for on Shabbos, he says that that's okay. Yeah?
Did you want to? Question. So you have Shabbos clocks that you can set your alarm and it automatically turns itself off after playing for a minute. But the one we have comes preset to play Shabbat Shalom, which makes no sense.
Okay, so
I've got a two-year-old in the house.
Right, so what about, so what's the other issue with the clock for a second? The clock, everybody knows that that's something that's set and going off on the hour. So the here in the Sefer Mishnah Achrona, put together this new Sefer came out over the last couple of weeks. So he writes here, I didn't see it didn't come out so great in the copy, but it says right, Mutter Lahamid Kli Mashkola Shakorin Zegin Merav Shabbos. You're allowed to set these grandfather clocks. And it says, Yeshakasu She'ein Lesor Hazmanas Shirus Yikitza B'telephone Me'erav Shabbos. So there are those that say along the same lines, reasons, along the same lines, that there is no prohibition in setting your telephone, in setting your alarm clock on your telephone from before Shabbos, because that telephone yitzaltzel b'Shabbos u'yemes b'Shabbos, so that the telephone will ring at a particular point on Shabbos, mishum shashirus eina nitan al yidei adam, because it's clear that those tunes are not being made by a man, el ba'ofen otomati, al yidei, I should have looked this up, part of it is cut off, but rather it's something automatic, based on some kind of things. Val korchach dino kedin shon ma'ora shemutter l'chavono be'erev Shabbos shetilso b'Shabbos. Therefore, it's the same thing as these alarm, as these grandfather clocks, that it's permissible to set from before Shabbos in order so that it will ring on Shabbos. Now, there are those who say that maybe mishum kavut Shabbos u'kedusha Shabbos, maybe you shouldn't do this because you're playing, as opposed to a clock, so the clock is a clock. That's you know, clock time runs on Shabbos also. But to have your computer go off on Shabbos, so maybe that's a problem issue because of kavod Shabbos. Maybe that's an inappropriate thing to do. That's what he suggests. I think the minhag is that most people set alarm clocks, especially off of their phones on Shabbos. I think that's what people do. There is a concern. Anything that one sets, we didn't this didn't make the cut here. But the anything that one sets to do malacha on Shabbos. So if there is a lot of noise that comes from it, so that perhaps is a problem of this halacha, because then you're bringing attention to this malacha which is being done. So that's how people prohibit the use of dishwashers on Shabbos. I mean, why can't I set the dishwasher, and we'll go, you know, I'll load the dishwasher Friday night, and I'll set the dishwasher beforehand that it will start running at 1 in the morning, and then in the morning I'll have dishes that are good to go. Right, so such a thing mutter. So it's a bit of a stretch, but the poskim are like against it, and the halachic reason that they hang their head on is this idea that you're setting a thing to go off on you're setting a malacha to happen on Shabbos, which is going to make a noise. Now a lot of these dishwashers don't make a lot of noise, but that's the theory, and that's the kind of malacha that people do right away, as opposed to an alarm clock. So when do people set alarm clocks? Do they set alarm clocks when they're waking up, right? Not really. That's That's, we wouldn't call them alarm clocks then, right? So alarm clocks is something that by definition is set before. So the truth is, yeah, sure, you could set it the night before, you could set it the day before, I mean before Shabbos or after Shabbos, but at least it's something that you know is not happening now. So it's based on that idea that most poskim seem to permit alarm clocks for Shabbos, certainly if it's l'dvar mitzvah, for the purpose of a mitzvah, which, I mean, you can make a case that anything on Shabbos is l'dvar mitzvah, but certainly waking up to go learn or to go to shul on Shabbos morning, so that's l'shem mitzvah. So therefore, most assume that sending an alarm clock would be okay.
But a dishwasher can be set on a timer also.
I understand, but he's saying a dishwasher is a malacha that is not commonly done by timer.
Is that the...
I mean, any malacha that... And us, what's the problem? Where are you going to find that gezeira? So the Gemara's example is that of a mill. That if you have a mill, so the mill, if it continues running the Shabbos, that's... wait, I forget if that's... that's making noise. I forget if that's the I forget what the Gemara exactly said about that. But the concern is that it will continue to make noise going into Shabbos. So anything that's going to make noise is going to be a problem with clocks. Is going to be a problem even on Shabbos clocks. And anything that's unless it's something that's commonly done in that way, meaning it's commonly done that it's set before. That would be the dishwasher prohibition.
Is that the dishwasher, is that for the Friday night, what you used on the Friday night meal?
Yeah.
So what if you turn it on? You did dishes and you what if you turn it on before Shabbat, not on an alarm?
That's like, not how dishwashers work.
No, if you were washing stuff set before candlelighting and you put it in and turn it on, so it'll be ready.
Right. That's the halacha. Right. If it was something that was continuing on from before Shabbos, I think that's permissible. But it's something that is going to go on in the middle, that's going to be a problem. I think that's the example of the mill.
That
the mill is something that is continuing on from the beginning of Shabbos, that would be okay. But to have it start in the middle of Shabbos, that would be problematic.
That's like saying
dishwashers had timers.
All of the new ones have timers on.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you can actually put them on delays.
But the alarm clock on the phone, don't you have to turn it off? Or does it automatically go off?
It depends what... You could get the Shabbos alarm clock.
Yeah, it goes off. Oh, there's a Shabbos alarm?
The Shabbos alarm app.
Oh, it's an app. No, we've got an actual little...
Those rusty brick guys come up with everything.
It's like a travel clock. Question about grandfather clock, actually.
You could also set most alarms to also only go off for a minute, I think. It depends how new your phone is, I guess.
So you can't use musical instruments on Shabbos because you may want to fix them or
right.
do something. So a grandfather clock...
Right.
Is there any fear that it won't have been wound enough before Shabbos?
I don't think so.
Go off in the middle and
somebody. Oh, I don't think. I think what they're saying with the grandfather clock is that it doesn't even fit into this prohibition. I mean, that's something
okay.
that's making noise as opposed to making music.
Okay. What if it makes a noise and someone wants to make it stop? Is there a fear that they want to make the noise?
I don't think so. That's not the gezeira. That's not the way it was made.
And there is some music that sounds like noise.
Okay, so the next halacha along these lines within that same sif in Shin Lamed Ches, so it says Hashmas Kol B'Kli Shir is going to be prohibited. Aval Lahakish Al Hadelas V'Chiyutzves. What about knocking on a door? So right, that's the distinction between a song versus making a noise. So Kishenu Derech Shir Mutter. So just knocking on the door, that would be okay. I don't know if anybody says that you shouldn't knock like with a tune. Dun, 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 like I'm not sure about that. But they also prohibit knocking me. But if it's a vessel that's designed to make noise, that would be a problem. That's why many say not to use door knockers on Shabbos, just to knock with your hands. But the Ramah continues on and says V'chinim Lo Avid Maisa Shari. But if you don't actually do anything, it's permissible. So what does that mean? What kind of noise is being made if you don't actually do anything? What is that? So so I think the Aruch HaShulchan just says like whistling. That's what it means. I mean, there's no prohibition whistling on Shabbos. You're not actually doing anything. But there's a Tzitz Eliezer, and I looked at this. I couldn't figure out what exactly he is talking about. But the Tzitz Eliezer says, "Imutul adam lisrok bepeh o limchus kapayim b'Shabbos." Are you allowed to whistle or to clap your hands on Shabbos? They limtso hechan munach machzik mafteichus sorek to find out where you left your whistling car keys. Does anybody know what he's talking about? This is not like a mod. I actually Googled whistling car keys, and there's a product on the market that will whistle, that you could like find your, in order to find your keys, it will let off a noise. But he's writing this decades ago.
What a good idea.
I don't know what he's referring to.
Well, there are, but I don't know when they came about. There's
the clapper, right.
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 The lights.
Right. So it's some kind of thing that it sounds like you whistle and it reacts. But it's not reacting electronically, it's reacting by a whistle. I don't know what he's referring to. But he comments, but he alludes to this halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. He says, the Shema's kol, ra'im lo avin ma'isa shari, that would be permissible. So therefore, if you're not actually going to do anything, therefore, if you're calling your friends or you whistle with your mouth like a bird, so mutter la, that you can do on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah adds, in the hainu afilu iminai makol, even if it's like a nice voice, nice tune, that would be okay. The lo gazu bazeh, there was never a gezeira that was made against that. So therefore, with regards to this question, he says, it would be mutter. V'im kein mina dehua din de muteres hasrika shal adam b'shabbos gam b'chagon nidena. So therefore, it should be permissible in this case. I don't know what he's referring to. But some kind of thing that you're whistling with your mouth and causing some reaction across the room. That's what it sounds like is going on. So in the Gela Sheila Shnei, one second, so now you're going to so the first thing was, are you allowed to whistle? Yes, you're allowed to whistle. What about by your whistling you're going to cause your keys to whistle? So in a gamze yecholam anu limud lahatim midir, we could also pass him that it's mutter on, based on this, as and he quotes Zelah Shona Shulchan Aruch Melua Shmas Kol B'Chli Shir Asra Avalakai, and he quotes the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore he says that it would be okay because you're not actually doing an action. That's what he suggests. So there, I saw a Rabbi Yair Hoffman, and he has an article on the Five Times Jewish or Five Towns Jewish News, right? Our Jewish Link. Or Jewish Link, I think, Jewish Link of Five Towns, where he quotes this to Eliezer as saying, so maybe that could permit the use of Alexa. Just as blowing your whistle somehow isn't, and that causes something else to happen. So here also something is happening, but you're not doing anything. You're just whistling, right? So what's the difference there? So he points out that, he says, first of all, it's going to be a bigger problem here, but even though you're, I don't know what this case of the Tzitz Eliezer was, what exactly is going on. But he says, at least in this case, you're whistling, you might be saying, hey, Alexa, and something else is happening based on your voice. Meaning there might not be a gezeira against Hashmas Kol, but if something happens as a result of you talking, is that a problem or not? And he points out that seems to be a pretty explicit halacha that it is. Now, it's not in Hilchos Shabbos, it's not in Hilchos Yontif, it's not in Hilchos Or HaChaim, it's in Hilchos I guess it would be in Yoredei. And so I just put the Rambam here, because that's the easiest, that there's a prohibition, there's an Isser D'Oraisa of working your animals and muzzling them so that they can't eat while you're working. Right? You're not allowed to put a muzzle on your animal's mouth, you have to permit them to eat. So anybody who does this, Kalamunea Behema Milecho, Bishas Malacha, anybody who keeps their animal from eating at the time of work, Loka gets Malchus, Shenemar Lotachsum Shorbadisha. It says don't seal your, don't muzzle your ox while it's threshing. So echad shor ve'echad kol minei behema v'chaya bein tamei bein tahor, and whether an ox or any other type of animal, whether kosher, whether not kosher, etc. So echad hachosim osa b'shas melacha, so whether while it's you working you muzzle it, ve'echad hachosim osa b'kodem, or you muzzle it before and then you take it out to work, and then you do melacha with it, that's a problem. Afilu chasama b'kol loka, I mean, even if you muzzle it by talking to it, it's a loka. What does that mean? That means that if every time it reaches over to eat something, yell, hey! Right? No eating that. And therefore, and the animal says, you know, backs off as a result of you yelling at it. So it says, you are chayev makos. That is a iser doraisa of muzzling your animal. Well, now, I'm already saying it won't work. What?
Yeah, what does that have to do?
So what do we see from here? So we generally have a principle in halacha, in the laws of nezikin and damages and things like that. Generally, the principle is anything you do with your mouth, you can't get makos for. Your mouth isn't considered an action unless your mouth is causing an action. So what do we see from here? This is actually a machlokas in the Gemara, but this is the way we paskin. We see that if your mouth causes a reaction, causes an action, that's considered as if you are causing that action, doing that thing. So if you say, hey, Alexa, and all of a sudden Alexa brights up and says, hi, how can I help you today? It doesn't really say that, but if it would. So that would be, whatever Isser that is, even though you didn't touch anything, you didn't move anything, you didn't push anything, you still caused it to happen. So then you sit and analyze, okay, well, what kind of Isser on Shabbos is there in Alexa being active? Right, so whatever that light thing is that turns on, and anytime it talks, whatever we define electricity as being prohibited on Shabbos, just because you're not pushing a button doesn't mean that you're not in violation of causing it to happen on Shabbos. That's the point that he's making.
But okay? It's the, for lack of a better term, the electrical issue, the fact that you're turning something on, even if it's with your voice.
Right. That is the point of why.
If you said Alexa, turn on the lights. You're not touching it, but you're causing it.
Right, so then you're having to turn on the lights. That's even worse. That's even worse. But so I don't think so. There is a blog post on Times of Israel where some woman wanted to justify her use of Alexa by saying it's like a Shabbos guy that came up by way of Google. But I don't think she said was only suggesting it. She didn't think that it was.
Okay, so here's a strange one. I'm talking about old time stuff. So TV remotes, before they were done by some kind of certain sound wave, they originally were done, the sound was a more common sound that you can actually hear it make a noise. So it was a jingle, so what happened, and my husband's parents used to get all the latest gadgets, so they got like one of the first TVs with a remote control. And it turned out that the dog's collar with the license and dog's name jingled the same frequency as the TV remote. So the TV remote would just go, it wouldn't do much as far as turning a channel, but it would turn it on and off and make the volume go loud, loud, louder, off.
And get the dog loud, to come.
So the dog came by, the dog actually could turn on and off the TV and move it around.
So that's a sound wave, not a light
wave. Oh.
That's what I'm saying. It was a sound wave at that point.
Now that he's waiting.
And it was actually one that was audible to anyone. And it was really annoying when the dog would come in the room because it would turn your TV off on you or something like that. But I'm thinking, so the reason I'm asking this is because when I first married my husband, that TV was in our room.
Okay.
And I was Shomer Shabbos.
Right.
Or at least I was trying to become. And so he called the dog, and all of a sudden the TV would go up, 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 up. Or start making all sorts of weird things going on because we hadn't turned it on. But the dog did, and now we had the TV.
So, okay.
Well, sounds like an
so what's the problem? The problem is
it sounded like I wanted to take the tone.
Right, but the dog was doing it. You're causing the dog to come forward.
Well, I mean, we didn't cause the dog to come forward. All you had to do was open the door to the room, and the dog would be there.
Okay. So that idea.
Did the dog always turn on the TV, or maybe just sometimes?
No.
Okay, so with regards to opening the door, for that's actually the next, it falls into the next topic, but okay.
It was crazy. It drove us crazy.
Right. Oh, but that did remind me about one major Alexa thing. So do you have to turn it off? Can I just say, all right, we won't mention, Yimach Shemo for over the course of the entire Shabbos. We just say we're not going to mention that. So apparently the way it works, and this I don't know, is that it is recording every time that it's on the entire day, right? It's listening the entire day. It's listening for the word Alexa, and then all of a sudden it pipes up. So it is listening to you. Now, as we mentioned last week, and as we'll mention again, it's clearly lo nichole. It's clearly something that's not to your benefit. It's not something that you're thinking about at all. So, so I don't think that you're in any violation of anything. But we try to avoid those situations, l'chathila. We'll see it in a moment. We try to avoid those ideas, l'chathila. So I would say, if you have your own Alexa, you should unplug it before Shabbos. That's on our pre-Shabbos checklist. But if you're in someone else's house that has the Alexa plugged in, so I don't think you have to call them a Machal Shabbos and yell at them. Okay. So that is the Alexa issue. Now let's keep her to the side for a moment because we'll get back to her soon. And now we move on to the Ring issues. Now the Ring issue is not pushing the button. We don't push buttons on Shabbos. But the Ring issue is that all of a sudden it senses motion, and it doesn't wait for you to push the button before all of a sudden you pop up on screens inside the house as, oh, look at that, somebody's at the door. So the situation A is, okay, what about a family that has a ring? Do they have to get rid of it before Shabbos? Now, the way you could, I guess, cover it up, right? Is that, I don't know how these things work. I think you could cover it up, and that would be fine. Okay, let's say you didn't, or let's say the cover blew away that Shabbos. So what is the halacha there? So there is a Rashba, now we're going back many centuries, where the Rashba discusses a Yerushalmi, gets into the dog issue that Arlene was just commenting on. So, and he says here, the Rashba kasa b'lashon hazeh, that Yerushalmi, as quoted from the Rashba, the Ran disagrees with the Rashba. So the Ran quotes the Rashba and then disagrees with it. So I just put that source down. So the Rashba writes, in this language, that the Yerushalmi nir sheitiru linol b'tchila beso, lino b'tchila beso, v'lishmor beso, v'tzvisha v'socho. That if you have a deer in your house, happens, you have a deer in your house, so you're allowed to close your door on Shabbos, even though you know that there's a deer that's now going to be trapped inside of your house, provided that, why are you closing the door? I'm closing the door because I want to close the door, not because I want to specifically trap the deer. So that sounds like that's what the Yerushalmi is saying, and that's okay. Uvad shelo yichavein lishmoras atzvi, as long as your kavan is not to guard this deer. Bilvad, only. Meaning, it sounds like you could even have that as part of your kavanah. Da'achi grasini b'Yerushalmi, that's what it says in Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yossi barbun, b'shem Rabbi Hanina, hayatzvi ratz kedarko, v'nischavein lino ba'ado, v'nol ba'ado v'aratzvi mutter. And you decide, you want to close the door for your benefit, and you close for your benefit, and it's not bad that there happens to be a deer trapped inside your house now also. Meaning, okay, we'll shecht it after Shabbos and have some venison, right? So that would be mutter. Okay, v'lefizeh. Had the Amr nischavin lino ba'ado, lo ba'ado bilvad, dafka ka'amar, el nischavin lino af ba'ado. It says, even for your benefit, ka'amar. V'lomar sh'ilu tzarek lino ba'ado, mutter afal pishim nischavin sh'hiyatzvi natsu besocho, ad kalan shon. That's mutter to close the door, so long as you have a reason to close it for your own benefit, even though you know that you're also going to be capturing this deer. So this is what we discussed last week, the idea of psik resha. This is like a psik resha. This is like a psik resha plus. Right. This is a, I'm closing the door because I want to close the door, it's cold in here. But, hey, I get this deer. Like, it is in my mind that there is this deer in the house, and it is in my mind that I'm going to be able to capture this deer. And yet, he seems to be, he's quoting this Yerushalmi as saying that it is mutter. That's the way that's the Shitas HaRashba. The Rashba, there's a famous Rashba in the Hilchos Shabbos, where the Rashba makes this claim. You're allowed to close the door to your house, despite the fact that you are knowingly doing a malacha along the way. There's a couple of other examples as well, which I skipped over. So the Ran complains. He says, "V'dvar t'muim be'inai harbe." This is wondrous to me. Heyach efsher. How is it possible? Shafilu b'nischavin lino ba'ado, that you even have in your mind to close the door because of this uva'aratzvi. Yehimutter. It should be okay. V'chivnei shehu tzarech lino beso nati lo lasos malachas b'Shabbos. Right. Just because you want to close your door means that you're allowed to violate a malacha on Shabbos. Right. Why is that okay? So v'lo. Oh, not only that. Eloshani omer shafilu she'enu mischavin lino ba'aratzvi. I would say even if you don't have kavanah to close on behalf of this deer, kosher. You don't even know there. Well, I mean, I guess you know there's deer inside, but it's not part of your conscious at all that you want, right? Yodeya shatzvi besocho, kolshu yodeya tzvi, as long as you know the deer is inside, v'shiyev sharlo shelo yehei hatzvi nitzo besocho, usser. And it's not possible that the tzvi is not going to be captured, meaning that's what you're doing, you're closing the door. That would be prohibited. And that's what we say, v'hainu damirin b'chula mechilta, and that's what we say in all over, he quotes one daf and b'chama mekomos, that's what Chaf Mem stands for, meaning every five daf in Masechta Shabbos, it quotes this, d'mod the Rebbe Shimon, the psik resha v'lo yamos, that it's, everybody agrees that it's prohibited, that this idea of psik resha. So how is this not a psik resha, that you're closing the door? So the Ran says, I'll give you what my pshat is in the Yerushalmi. So he says, V'zusha amru b'Yerushalmi in Yenachar. I think it's talking about something totally different. Lomar she'im nischavin lino es beso, v'lo nischavin litzvi klal. What it's saying is that if you have kavanah to close your door, and you don't have kavanah for the deer at all, even though afterwards, she'achar kach matza hatzvi shor besocho, then you walk into your living room, and look at that, there's a deer sitting on the couch. So, mutter kolomar, what does it mean permissible? She'enu mechuyev she'yiftach es beso. That you don't have to open up your door again. That's all that it's saying. Right? So the Shitas HaRashba is, I'm allowed to close the door, even though I know that there's a deer inside, I'm going to trap it, so long as I really just want to close the door because there's wind coming in. Right? The Ran says, impossible. That's what we call a psik resha. That is the textbook definition of psik resha, and it can't be that that's okay. So what's the Yerushalmi saying when it says that you could close the door on Shabbos and it's okay? So it doesn't mean you could close the door. It means you could keep the door closed. It means you don't have to dismiss this act of tzad, dismiss this act of entrapment, which you did. You don't have to cancel it out. You could leave it in there. Okay, that is the machlokas Rashba and Ran. So how do you defend this Rashba? Right. Based on what we've learned the last couple of weeks, that sounds like the psik resha, right? You're closing the door, knowing that you're trapping a deer. And don't get cute, right? The cute answer in Hilchos Tzad is always, well, you're not really trapping the deer. It's in the living room. It's not in the dining room. That's not really considered trapping. It's only trapping the Rabbanan. Okay, let's leave that alone. Let's assume that this is the real deal, right? You closed your closet door not realizing that there was a deer inside, right? So how does one resolve this? So this question laid for a while. And this is the answer of the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer of... Bornstein, he was the Tzakachavar Rebbe, the father of the Shem Yishmuel, if that name rings a bell. So he explains the following. He says, Have groma b'Shabbos chayev mishum denichalei. He says, when we talk about, I skipped a little bit. He says, what is the real malacha of tzad? If I were to ask you, how do you violate the malacha of capturing on Shabbos? Right? What would be the classic way? What would be the malacha of capturing a deer on Shabbos?
You set a trap,
or you grab the deer and walk it into your house, or something like that, right? That's the malach of tzad on Shabbos.
The bumblebee put a cup over it.
Right. You're actually capturing. Well,
you're trapping it.
Yeah. Okay. That would be also that you're trapping it. You're actively trapping it. What's closing the door where there's a deer inside? So that's not really the active role of trapping. That's like a grumma of trapping, you assume, right? You're closing your door, and by doing so, you're going to cause a deer to be caught. It's not the same type of grumma we talked about last week. The grumma was that there's a little bit of a delay. But here, this is a grumma of trapping.
You're preventing other deer from coming in.
Oh, okay, you're doing that too, right? So nichle b'hachi, that could have been the example, yeah? The nichle b'hachi de melechas machsheves asr Torah ulhachi chavin, that it's good for you that this gets done. That has to be your kavana. Oh, I left. I didn't put on the line. He says there is a malacha. I'm sorry. There's a malacha. There's another malacha on Shabbos that actually requires another action to take place. Right. Normally, we assume malachas are done when you actually do it, when you actually capture the deer, when you actually set the trap, when you actually put the thing on top. He says there is at least one. This is the example that everybody brings up. When they talk about a malacha that by definition has to be done with another force happening. Trick question, anyone? Going once, going twice, right? The malacha of winnowing. How does winnowing get done, at least in the way it appears at the Zorah? How does the malacha of winnowing get done? You take your wheat and the chaff, you throw it up into the sky, and the wheat comes down, and the chaff is supposed to blow away. So how does that happen? It happens because there's wind, there's a koach acher, there's another power that is happening there. So if that's the case, you should never be chayav for Zorah on Shabbos, because you're never doing it yourself, you're doing it relying on the wind. So suggests the Avnei Nezer, when it comes to certain malachos on Shabbos, where you're by definition required a grama, it could only be accomplished if that's your sole kavana. If that's the sole thing that you have in mind, that's the only way that you're going to do that malacha. So if I throw popcorn up in the air, I don't know if that's a good example, when the popcorn goes away in the... Okay, fine. Yeah, but in order to get the popcorn, if I have to throw popcorn in the air because I want to catch it in my mouth, and and while doing so, the gust of wind takes away the shaft of the popcorn, such a thing would exist, right? So that would not be a malacha on Shabbos. In fact, according to this Avnei Nezer, that would be mutter. That would be completely mutter, even though I know that that's going to happen. Why is that? Because that's not my goal. My goal is only a malacha if your goal is the malacha itself. That's the way the Avni Nezer works it out. So he says when it comes to the this idea of trapping the deer, it's the same type of thing. That is a grumma malacha, and the only way you can violate it is if that is your sole desire, that is your sole goal. So this is invoked by modern poskim as perhaps a permissibility, or at least a reason to say that it would be permissible to walk someplace even though you know that you're going to be filmed. Right, that type of thing that is so far away from my kavana, from what we have in mind, that's not in the parsha, and therefore I don't have to worry about that thing that is going on someplace else. Yeah.
Would that be? Could you hold with the same reason for motion sensor lights?
Right.
You walk down the street and you don't even know that they're there.
Yeah, so
or that you do know, and then
so lights I think are worse. First of all, because lights are an issue d'oraisa. That's a biblical prohibition. That already makes things worse. The second difference is that lights are nichole. Lights are for your benefit. Now, some say, well, it's not for your benefit because you don't want it to happen. But no, it is. That's not the way it works, right? You can't decide, oh, it's not for my benefit because I don't want to be in violation of Shabbos. So what? It's hard to say.
It's lighting your benefit, though, because it's lighting your neighbor's driveway.
Oh, so if that's what it's the light's going on. The light's only going on in order to cover their driveway, and it's not covering my thing at all, so then there's more room to be lenient. But often these lights are shining onto the sidewalk, and that way you can see the it helps with it's like saying, well, I don't want the light to go on when I open the refrigerator door because it's Shabbos. Why would I want the light to go on Shabbos? But it's still to your benefit that the light is going on when the door is opening. So it depends how the light is set up. I think we talked about this a couple of years ago already. I think it is one should avoid if you know that that's what happens. One should avoid walking in a place
like
where you know the
lights
go on.
Right.
So if you know that that's going to happen, it's preferable to avoid it. If it's impossible to avoid it, so then there is room then to
and
be.
And what happens if
there.
You went on, you didn't know, but you're there now. You're under.
So
the
you're
light.
There, right? So the fact that it's going to turn off due to your absence of presence, so that's much more room to be makel. That's.
You can't stand that.
That's already beyond. It's certainly not to my benefit. And God, it's not turning on for anything I did. It's not turning off because of anything I did. It's turning off because
you're leaving.
No one's there. It's deciding on its own to turn off. So that's much more room to be makel. But to walk a specific route where I know that something is going to go on, so that would avoid. But with regards to security cameras, where you're not even going to see it, so there's room to be makel. Now, all these things should really be avoided. So if you could cover up your ring, great. But if it's on, or you go to someone else's house where it's there, so there's room to be makel and not worry about it.
Like we were in New York and we walked down Broadway. Now that I'm thinking about it, probably every store had a camera.
Yeah, right. So, and a lot of apartments, the older question was with apartment buildings. If you know that your apartment building has one of these cameras, so is that a problem for you? So it's not for my benefit, it's for the benefit, I don't want it to capture me, I want it to capture the robber. So many for that reason are makel on the security cameras. Now I just want to go back to the Alexa issue, because Alexa sometimes, let's say you left your Alexa on, and at some point somebody mentioned Alexa, and somebody else said, hey, wouldn't it be cool if, wouldn't it be funny if Alexa would all of a sudden start playing some Mordechai Ben David music? Right? All of a sudden, there it goes on Shabbos. And there's no way to turn it off. So how would one turn it off? It's really annoying you over the course
your
of Shabbos.
Neighbor.
What do you do? So you could go to your non-Jewish neighbor, and your non-Jewish neighbor, and have the Shabbos guy come over and tell Alexa to shove it, right? Or to unplug Alexa. So, great. So I go over to my neighbor, and what do I notice that my neighbor has on Shabbos? My neighbor has a ring, right? And it's worse with regards to the ring, because I'm going to walk and I'm going to knock on the door, and what's the neighbor going to do? It's going to look at the screen and say, oh, look at that, it's my neighbor, probably calling again because he forgot to turn off his dumb Alexa, right? So is that, that perhaps makes it a little worse. That perhaps makes it a little worse. So is that mutter? I don't know, one could make a case that's still not, even though it is to your benefit that they're looking at the screen and seeing that it's you, and therefore they'll come to the door, one could make a case of, that's not my benefit. Whose benefit is that?
It's to their
benefit. It's their benefit, right? It's my benefit. I just want to knock on the door and then come. This was they're too lazy to come to the door to find out who's there. And they're just going to look at the screen and find out and say, that's not helping me. That's only helping them. So one could make a case that then it's still okay. But that's something else to keep in mind. Last year, I'm going to just throw in one more thing to think about. And that is...
Is the Alexa case similar to having a kid who goes and turns on the TV on Shabbos? Because they like to press buttons.
Well, what do you mean? The fact that now you have this electric thing on Shabbos and you don't want it on.
Right.
So what's the question? Is it permissible to ask a guy to turn it off?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's annoying enough on Shabbos to.
Can you ask them, or you just have to him?
Ask them. I think you can ask them.
Just push the button again.
It's a dirabanan. It's a shvus to shvus b'makom tsar in this case. I mean, it's two dirabanans because turning off these things is only dirabanan, and you're asking a night. Well, a TV is maybe you can make a case that TV is d'oraisa. All right, maybe it's better to hint in that case. A radio, I would say, you could say explicitly. A TV, maybe one should try to hint in that case.
What would be the difference between?
Because a TV is working with lights. So when it's a light, so you're talking about a biblical issue. When you're only talking about a radio, so radio is a rabbinic issue.
Okay.
That's what I would suggest. So a couple of almost a year ago at this point, as I was at a one of these rabbinic Yom Iyans, and some of these topics were discussed. Ray Willa gave a share on these types of topics. So one of the issues that came up, that's where I got the idea of putting the Alexa and the Ring question together. But then one other question is that people do this. I don't know if people have videos inside their house also, right? And they use it for, hey, you know, we came up with the Tzitzel Yezer's idea of having some kind of whistle key. Well, what's another thing you could do? Hey, where's my car keys? Well, let me take out my phone, rewind the video, and see where I left them when I came into the house, right? Apparently, this is like a real thing that's done. So are you allowed to check the foot, and not just for your home? So your home, you're turning everything off for Shabbos. What about like at shul, right? So all of a sudden, you have now shifted the thing that was done for the benefit of others, I mean, for the benefit to catch the robber, not to catch you, all of a sudden now it's catching you. It's for your own benefit, right? So now you've shifted around the whole paradigm with regards to the whole heter for these things, in which case it should probably be avoided, meaning to take it. Now, one could make, you know, it's after Shabbos already, the difference b'di'evit, okay, but to make a policy of, oh, I'll just check the video. I mean, to all of a sudden turn it into that, oh, I like the idea that I'm being videoed on Shabbos, because that way I'll be able to find my raincoat or figure out whose raincoat it is that I took home by accident, right? So all of a sudden you've shifted it to being your own benefit as opposed to just to catch other people. So that one should perhaps avoid using it for those purposes. Okay.
If you go back to the deer that's in the house, can you get the deer out of your house?
You could, but the deer are often stubborn. Yeah, you could.
There's no problem with that.
I mean, talk to it.
No, but that's not malacha, just to...
No, there's no malacha. All right,
I have a sort of like a small...